But I will say, having the product background has been very helpful. Having worked in product as a product marketer gives you a little bit of cred. Just and being able to know the right questions to ask of the product team members, understand and empathize with them that building software is not something you can easily predict. So when they tell you that the launch is going to happen next week and it's actually a couple of weeks later, like you're not mad because you've been on that side of the house where like the engineers take a few more weeks to work on getting stuff done. So even though my working in product was not like the best fit for me at the time, it's really definitely helped me become more empathetic with my stakeholders.
Hello, and welcome back to the Product Marketing Life podcast, where we sit down with product marketers to talk about careers, life, and product marketing. I'm your host, Sid Kaitan, Senior Product Marketing Manager at Beekeeper. And in this episode, I got to chat with Emily Wengel, Product Marketing Team Lead at Origami Risk. We talked about how improv helped her become a stronger collaborator and communicator, transitioning from product to product marketing, and learning to trust your gut. I love this conversation. It was very thoughtful, down to earth, and full of practical takeaways. Emily also happened to be my neighbor, and that was a fun surprise. So, hope you enjoy this one, and see you soon.
Emily, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
I love how we practice. I asked you, and then I still said Wingle when it's
No, you said it right.
Wangle. I said it
You
right?
said it
Okay,
right. You
cool.
said it right.
Cool.
Okay.
Awesome. Well, yeah, thanks so much for joining. As always, would love to just hear a little bit more about yourself. I already know that you're from Chicago, probably like a stone's throw away from me, but I would love to hear more about just you and life.
So, I mean, I've been in Chicago for 10 years, and have been in product marketing for about 5.5 years, at Origami the entire time. I'm also a working mom, and I have a podcast of my own, which I'm a little bit behind on, but I like to stay updated on that as well. But yeah, I mean, if you want kind of like a high level overview of my background, I studied biology and business in undergrad, and worked in biotech for a little while, and did a whole bunch of other things in finance and healthcare consulting and that sort of thing. But moved into product after a few years and kind of realized I liked more of the go-to-market, getting the features and benefits into the hands of the users and getting them to execute on those things as opposed to maybe working day to day with engineers. So that's kind of how I made my way into product marketing. And yeah, but I mean, actually, it sounds like it's kind of like a long and winding path, but actually, what I like to say is that I've always kind of been translating these kind of complex technical concepts to non-technical audiences in a way that they can understand kind of the features and benefits of what I've been working on. Whether that's in biotech, where it's kind of a complex therapeutic molecule, where my background in biology came in handy, or if it's a piece of software.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned you have your own podcast. Would love to learn a little bit more about it. How did you get into it? What's the premise? Always curious.
So I, before I became a mom, I used to do improv. And so this is kind of my new creative outlet, doing the podcast. And I was just one day I kind of had the idea of interviewing an inspiring friend over dinner. This was like pre-pandemic, and I kind of posted about it on Facebook and forgot about it. And then a couple, like about a year ago, I was having dinner with a couple of friends and I mentioned this idea. And they were very encouraging for me to kind of go and do it. And I posted back on the Facebook post, and one of my friends reached out, gave me some podcasting tips. So the premise of the show is to interview inspiring women over their favorite takeout. about their career wins and challenges. So it's the concept is kind of to help younger professionals learn from kind of the successes and challenges of professional women.
Awesome. Okay, that's very cool. And you mentioned, you know, being able to simplify the complex. I'm curious, what other like non-marketing, non-career related skills or habits make you better at product marketing in your job?
Oh, that's an interesting question. Huh. I've never really considered that. I will say, I think having done improv in the past has really helped my career. And like, I think it's helped me become a better coworker and colleague. Because part of improv is all about building the relationship with your scene partner and trusting your scene partner. And so I think that's been something that's been helpful in terms of building relationships with stakeholders, leading meetings. One, there's a thing like, okay, I can now kind of think on my feet a little better than I used to. I can ad lib it a little more. So if I'm in a meeting and something happens and I'm a little caught off guard, I can kind of take a breath and jump back in. But there's also the component of learning how to play off of your scene partner and as a character interested in that other character, helping them develop their story. And so I think similarly, when you talk to stakeholders, having the conversation and learning what's important to them, what do they need, and also just building the relationship with them as a human.
I really like that. There's that whole like rule, right? That you're never supposed to close the loop. You're always supposed to like add and keep going back and forth.
Yeah. So. Yeah. It's yes. And yeah, that's the theme in improv. Yes. And it's, you not only agree with your scene partner, you also add to it. So if you, I think like one of my teachers gave us an example. And he kind of gave this example of like, do you want to hear a story? And someone says yes. And then he's like, we're about a unicorn going off into space. And then he keeps going, right? And then he's like, okay, now say no. Do you want to hear a story? That's it. There's no story. Like, so I think there's just, I like the philosophy of improv. You meet a lot of cool people and so I did it. I actually initially did it for my career because I had a bad interview and I saw an improv show that same weekend. And I was like, I think I just need to learn to like think on my feet a little better, basically, in a professional context. But, I started doing it and just liked it for the joy of like creating art and performing and stuff.
Yeah, and it looks like it paid off. You mentioned you were at Origami Risk and you've been there for 5 years. It's like your main product marketing role, right? So how did you stumble into that? Into product marketing and at Origami Risk, yeah.
Yeah, so I was in product prior to Origami, and the role I was at was not really a fit. I had some time kind of struggling, trying to figure out, is it the role? Is it the company? Is it the product? Like why, like what exactly is not working here? So it was definitely a struggle while I was working in that role, but ultimately I reached out to a lot of friends and did a lot of networking. That's how I found out about PMA, actually. One of the people I reached out to through, I think I was just cold reaching out on LinkedIn to talk to people. She recommended PMA as a resource, and that was so, so helpful to learn about product marketing and understand kind of the questions other product marketers have, the resources, that sort of thing. So ultimately, it was kind of crazy. I was interviewing for product roles. I think I got 6 final rounds in product, but no offers. And then as soon as I started interviewing for like product and product marketing and product strategy roles, I almost immediately got offers. So I just think part of it was just like a fit thing. Like, I think my brain is kind of wired in a way to think about how to communicate the value of the different features and benefits and that sort of thing. And to think of more along the lines of the strategic communication of a piece of software product, because I've always been software product marketing, as opposed to more doing like the actual building and Scrum and product execution side of things.
Yeah.
But I will say having the product background has been very helpful. Having worked in product as a product marketer, I think gives you a little bit of cred. Just at being able to, you know the right questions to ask of the product team members, understand and empathize with them that, you know, building software is not something you can easily predict. So when they tell you that the launch is going to happen next week and it's actually a couple of weeks later, like, you're not mad because you've been on that side of the house where like the engineers take a few more weeks to work on getting stuff done. So I definitely think even though my working in product was not like the best fit for me at the time, it's really definitely helped me become more empathetic with my stakeholders.
Absolutely. Yeah. Same here. I mean, over the years, it's like these people are trying to create something out of nothing, and being mm-hmm. on both sides of the fence, once you realize what that's like, you start to have a lot more empathy for them.
Did you work in product as well?
I launched my own product. So,
oh, wow.
Like, yeah. And basically, like, never worked with like large scale product teams like I do now, which is like a whole different beast. So yeah, I very much just like understand that they have a difficult life as well. But yeah. And I love that you said cold DMing product marketers. Like, I don't know, this is just a theory, but I feel like you get a higher success rate with product marketers just because a lot of us are so curious and like wanting to help as well. So I'm sure that worked out pretty well for you.
Yeah, I mean, I think one thing I'll say about like the PMA Slack channel is that people are so responsive and willing to help when you have questions or you're trying to network for a specific reason. I feel like everyone in the community is super friendly. And yeah, it's just and then also, you know, when I've attended the in-person networking events as well, it's just been you know, people are great. So yeah, it's a good community.
Yeah. And I'm curious, you know, you mentioned this career arc. If you could go back and kind of give advice to that younger version of yourself, what would you tell
them? I think I would say, and I have spoken with a few younger individuals, and I think I would say, It's okay if you end up not liking something, like, because I think like if you think about a field like product, like it's all the rage. Well, it was like a couple of years ago. I think it's a little dicier now, but you know, it's very much glorified as like one of the top careers in tech, and I think like I had friends who were doing it and, you know, making tons of money and really at like high profile jobs and stuff. And so I think I felt some of the pressure to do something similar. But sometimes when you're going for competitive jobs like that, like it can be like fit and it's not a right fit. It can be incredibly frustrating. And so I think kind of like leaning into your intuition of like, something's not working here. Like I'm not enjoying this, or I'm not good at this, or like there's just like a mismatch kind of. It's okay to have that feeling and realize that and make a pivot. I pivoted a lot of times in my career, to be honest, but I think I actually wish I would have pivoted even earlier in my career. Back when I was in college, I was studying biology and business, and I think I held on to this idea of wanting to do biology for so long because I was really like, I really liked genetics in high school. And I started working in a lab and just like hated it. I hated it so much. And like, but I had like, I wanted to hold on to this dream of like becoming this like researcher. And I think like, I think because of that, I didn't totally listen to my gut feeling. And I think it's okay to listen to your gut feeling, even if things don't go as expected.
Yeah, I like that a lot. And it's tough with product marketing, I find, because there's just so many like facets to it that you can just lean into at any time, right? It's like, don't want to, I don't know, just like I'm a little bit, at least for me, like I've been a little bit kind of jaded when it comes to sales enablement. So I can just go focus on more top of funnel projects and initiatives, or like even just flexing to what the business needs. But you're right that like, yeah, you need your, you need to let your intuition kind of guide you on where you want to take your career.
Yeah.
So I like that.
Yeah. I don't know that I've really thought about how that comment specifically applies to product marketing, other than I think I mean, like one thing I hear is that product marketing sometimes can be kind of order takers from sales, like from the sales enablement perspective, like you kind of alluded to. And I think when you're kind of exploring career options, it's important to be asking the right questions from your interviewees and like making sure you aren't getting yourself into a situation that you're going to be less strategic in your role.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And because product marketing also means a lot of different things and a lot of different roles. So I agree. You have to like do some of that fact finding during the interview process as well. But yeah, great point. Awesome. Well, I'd love to talk more about Origami Risk and your role there as a product marketing team lead. Curious, yeah, what do you do in your current role? What's your team look like?
Yeah, so I'm on a team of eight, but I have one direct report. My role is I'm primarily responsible for the EHS, which is Environment, Health, and Safety product. You know, doing the whole go-to-market or about for that, you know, across the board for product marketing. So, you know, product launches, sales enablement, competitive intel, all of that. And then also I have a direct report who's an associate at PMM who helps across the team on mostly sales enablement related initiatives. So helping with updating sales decks and communicating to sales leadership and getting some, like, we have something called, I'm quite proud of this, a client story library that we've built out that kind of is a filterable database of different client success stories by industry, product, that sort of thing. So he maintains that database. So those are some of the activities that he works on. And then my peers are just serving other markets. So like I said, I work on the EHS space. And we have other team members working on other different market areas.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. And you mentioned you have a direct report. How do you kind of go about managing, mentoring, this person?
Yeah. So, so I started mentoring him when he was an intern. And that was, I guess, summer 2023, so a little while ago. And then he was hired full time and joined us last August. He's a recent grad, and I have gotten a lot of advice from my mentor on how to manage him. I think it depends. I mean, I think the answer is going to be different for each individual and kind of where they are in their career and what their strengths and weaknesses are. One of the things that we worked on pretty heavily with my direct report is project management. So a lot of it was providing him with the tools and resources to excel in that area, because we have a lot of cross-functional projects. We use Asana. So, you know, hooking him up with like the, we have a PMO, product marketing organization. So hooking him up with those people to like get some advice on project management, sending him resources, and then meeting with him on a consistent basis to make sure we're kind of on track. So those are some of the main things I do, to help him out there.
Very cool. Okay. And you said your team is split across market areas. How do you kind of work cohesively as a group still? And of course you all own different market areas, but how do you come together as a team to problem solve and other things?
Well, it's definitely a challenge because right now we are looking for a VP of product marketing. so we do not have an official leader on our team. So it's definitely a lot of collaborating on Slack. We do have a standing meeting where we get together every week for about 45 minutes. And then we have other touch points that are more focused by, like, we have some products that have more overlaps than others, if that makes sense, products and markets. So some of the areas that have like more overlap will like have more ad hoc meetings on. But it's definitely been a little bit of a challenge without a leader, for sure.
Yeah. And I asked because of my own curiosity. I figured that other PMMs are interested, but yeah, it's tough because part of it to me is like a lot of PMMs are pretty self-sufficient. So it's like, how do you all work together when you're also, you know, pretty much able to handle a lot of it on your own? So yeah,
I mean, it's actually kind of crazy because I mean, most of the team is fairly senior actually. And so we are self-sufficient, independent, and able to kind of execute, but there are definitely things that we need to collaborate on. We are very collaborative in general. Origami is very collaborative, but the PMM team is also highly collaborative, and it's more aligning on like processes and prioritization and that sort of thing. Those are the areas that, I mean, obviously we all ask each other for help if we need a review or need advice on completing a certain type of task, but I think a lot of what we're, especially without a leader, a lot of what the challenge is aligning on processes and prioritization.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense. Maybe in the same vein, like, can you share an example of a project that didn't go the way you wanted, didn't go as expected, and what you learned from that experience?
Yeah. Let me try to think of a good example. This is actually pre product marketing, but it was similar to a product market. It had to do with product market fit. This was actually a major challenge, in my career. So when I was at this consultancy, I was brought on board to launch a research product. So the consultancy did like custom consulting projects, and the idea is that I would launch this research product. Which would be like a series of reports to help innovation leaders select digital technologies. And I, going back to doing the due diligence, I didn't do my due diligence when I was getting hired. Part of the reason is I wanted to stay in Chicago, and the company I was working for was going to move me to Boston. So I think I was a little eager to hop ship. But so I got on board, and they were kind of pressuring me to launch a product in a matter of like less than a month or two. I mean, it was like built on Salesforce, so it wasn't like a completely new product. It would be just kind of like configured. But I kind of came to realize that there hadn't been a lot of validation done on the concept. Like, there is definitely a need for these innovation consultants to have custom consulting projects, like to help them select digital partners to, you know, advance some of the goals, creating a research report, profiling potential digital companies as partners doesn't exactly serve the same need, right? And so I kind of learned the hard way by launching the product and like getting feedback from the sales team that like, hey, there's not a market for this. Like, and so that was like a rude awakening of like, hey, you've jumped into this product and there's no market. And like, you need to make sure you do the research and the validation up front.
Yeah. That's why we need more product marketers.
Exactly.
Yeah. I always say like most of the time we're operating off of untested assumptions, and the less validation, the more chances of failure, the more risk, mm-hmm. some might say.
Right. Exactly.
And you kind of mentioned this in, I was pulling this kind of statement you made, and I think it was a 2024 PMA report, but it was all about how one of the tougher jobs of product marketing is actually explaining to everyone else what product marketing does and the value it offers. And I'm pulling a quote from you, this requires proactive communication and relationship building across product sales and other teams. So I'm curious, how do you do this tactically when you're in an organization like Origami Risk, for example? How do you make sure others understand the value of product marketing and are able to kind of leverage you and your resources the most effectively?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a challenge. And like I said, sometimes I think if you don't do this effectively, you're kind of like pigeonholed into more of a tactical role. And so it is something I struggle with at times, but I think, a lot of it I think is building the relationships, like I said earlier, and like part of the reason why some of the improv stuff is actually like comes in a lot of hand, just like reaching out to people, building a relationship, having a conversation, I think is one component, but then I think also showing your value is something that's really important as well. So like figuring out where there's a gap in the go-to-market process, or maybe sellers are asking for something that they're like, that doesn't make sense, or maybe they're running into a challenge in the sales cycle, and figuring out how you can fill that gap and delivering that value. I think just by doing that, people will come to recognize your contribution. And then I think also, this is something I think I need to get better at, but I've started to learn to do more of, is supporting with data. This is something, and this is not an original thought. I think I stole it from one of the speakers from the PMA summit in November. Coming to back up your assertions, either with quantitative data, so, you know, you can look at win-loss data, sales cycle data, whatever, or qualitative data, a quote from a customer, whatever, makes you more of an, it makes you more of an authority, if that makes any sense. So I'm just thinking about like, so I'll give you an example. I was working on prioritizing the battle cards I was working on with my stakeholders, and they had all sorts of opinions. They were going back and forth. No one was coming to a conclusion. And I was like, I'm going to look at the win-loss data. Like, why didn't I do this in the first place? I looked at the win-loss data. I saw that certain people were, like, we went up against certain people a certain number of times, losing a certain number of times. Then I chose, and then I said, I'm going to do these battle cards in these orders because of the win-loss data. And I thought I was going to get pushback, but silence. So this was over email, right? So I was like, okay, like that, no one... I think like, yeah, so that's just an example of like, you could be like, guys, what do you think? And constantly asking other people for their thoughts and advice. And sometimes that's important. Sometimes you need that when you're building stakeholder relations. Like, you need to listen to people, right? That's important as a product marketer. But sometimes you need to come with a perspective support of that data.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Like, and I think that takes you from being an order taker to coming up with something new. Like, for me, I've always said, like, identify some sort of thorny process back that you're going to work on this based on data. So like the framework I always use is observation. What are you seeing in the market? What's the data say? What is your hypothesis based on this? And then what are the actions you're going to take? Because the way I like to think of it is like the easiest way to build trust is to show how you think, kind of like showing your work, right? It's like, all right, yeah. That people don't just care you got to an answer. They want to know how you got there, especially at a leadership level, I often find. So when you show up knowing and being able to show your work, then it's much easier to get buy-in for whatever it is you want to do. So,
Yeah. And I'm starting to try to learn a little bit more about executive communication. And I think definitely that way of thinking about things is a good approach to take for that as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's kind of the scientific method as well. It's trying to tie the thread back to your previous experience. But yeah, I would love to hear, like, in terms of just PMM, I'm curious, like, what are some myths that you would like to just see busted or debunked, like you hear too much of and just isn't really in your lived experience?
I mean, I do feel like, I don't know if it's a myth or more or less like the opposite, but I do feel like sometimes we're just seen as marketing, and I do think that PMMs add additional strategic value that should be recognized as beyond just, you know, lead gen or whatever. Not that lead gen is a bad thing, right? Like, we need to generate leads. But I do think that sometimes, I think it's going back to what you were saying, where like people sometimes just don't understand what product marketers do. So they make assumptions about it. I don't think it's going to be debunked overnight. I think it requires a lot of education internally and generally in order to help stakeholders understand how we can add value.
100%. Awesome. Well, this has been a great condo. I'm not sure if you've tuned into any of the other episodes, but I've added a signature question at the end that I like to ask all guests. And that is, product marketing is blank. Can you fill in the blank?
Oh, that's a good question. Product marketing is... Oh, this is really corny. I want to say fun. Is that too nerdy? I want to say fun because I think so I've been in the workforce for like 15 years or so, and I've been in product marketing for 5.5 years. And obviously, from some of the comments, you can tell I have my frustrations about, having kind of a strategic seat at the table at times. But I think, like, overall, I just enjoy, like, there's a creative component to it. There's a strategic component to it. You get to learn about the product and, like, help tell a story and help people understand how it can be useful to them. And I think that's an important piece of the puzzle. Like, I think, you know, certain people, like, I think a lot of times product thinks they can just build this product and it's going to sell itself or whatever. It's like the trope, right? But I think being able to be that person that tells that story and gets the product adopted and out there is just, it can be fun.
I like that. I think that's a unique answer. I've never heard that before. Oh. And yeah.
No worries.
I was just gonna say, yeah, like it, I think it's a fun, it's not nerdy. It's really true. And there's so many different as I was saying earlier, so many different facets to it. So to me, it's like an endless game. What were you going to say, though? I'm sorry, I cut you off.
No, it was the first thing that popped into my mind. I think you had sent me the question in advance, but I didn't give it much thought. So
even better. That's awesome. All right. Well, thanks again, Emily. I'm curious, where can people learn more about you? How can the listeners hear more about what you're up to? I know you made an appearance in the 2024 PMA report, but I'd love to hear more from you and hear more of your perspectives.
Yeah, so I'm on LinkedIn, just Emily Wingle. You can search me there. And then if you want to connect, if you have any questions, happy to help other product marketers or aspiring product marketers. Like I said, I do have a podcast, Personal Take. It'll be only have 2 episodes out right now, but it would be great if you could subscribe or like to the podcast. It's available on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And those are some ways you can find me.
Amazing. All right. And you're in Chicago. So
I am in Chicago. Next, yes.
PMA Chicago meetup or something like that.
Exactly. Exactly.
Awesome. Well, thanks again for joining, Emily. It's been a great conversation.
Great. Thank you for having me.
For everyone still tuned in, thanks so much for listening. And if you enjoyed the podcast, please help us spread the word to other product marketers. Thanks again and have a great morning, afternoon, or evening, wherever you are.